Let's go national. It's a Real Kipper and Bourne show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Seen coast to coast on Sportsnet. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Colby Armstrong, former NHLer, Sportsnet hockey analyst on Wednesdays, and host of Chicklets Game Notes.
All right, Sammy.
Have you heard him on that? Should we?
Well, he's not here. Yeah, I heard a bit of it today.
Have you?
Yeah, he's good.
He's Colby. All right?
Yeah, he's Colby.
No, like, Colby's obviously great.
Yeah, he's Colby.
This is like a cousin or a sister to Spittin' Chicklets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I don't really take in any other hockey content.
Well, and I don't mean that to be like condescending to that show. I don't listen to... We talk do our show. I watch video. I read articles.
I'm not allowed to listen to Spittin' Chicklets. My wife won't let me.
The language is too bad.
Listen, if we didn't have
I consume hockey different ways.
I'm sure there'd be a few swears in this show if we didn't have to. There'd be a few swears.
I think the only thing
my first couple of years,
show.
I kind of forgot we were on the air. And
no,
I
you were just.
I had a few words that probably I'd like to take back.
I think you wanted it to feel like hockey talk, and it was.
Yeah,
I think Steve Thomas was one of the first guests we had our first week.
We've had probably
multiple hard F's.
We've had half a dozen F bombs.
Yeah,
on our show.
You know, the biggest question I get is, how do you go on air and don't swear? Because when I'm off air, I swear a lot.
Swearing is taking a whole new level, even mainstream. And I know we can't, we don't drop F bombs on Sportsnet shows,
but
it wasn't too long ago that we wouldn't even like bleep F words. And now it's like listening to Connor McDavid on the Face Off for Amazon.
Right.
Where that's like headline stuff where it's all about his F bombs.
You know, what's funny. So I was actually talking with my mom today and she was saying she was sitting near some, you know, gentlemen my age who were just F this, F that out in public. And she was just saying grown men would never used to sit near an older woman, and just have no, like, swearing culturally is different than it used to be. It was a big...
Do you swear in front of your parents or your mom?
No, rarely, very rarely. I try not.
If I drop an F-bomb with my wife in the room, she's letting me know.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, she doesn't like it.
Okay, I got the mouth of a sailor, though, because I'll swear in front of my mom. I'll swear in front of anyone. I swear.
It's pretty low class, man.
Yeah. Now that I'm talking about it a little bit here, I'm slobbering.
It is kind of.
I'm a swearer.
Well,
is this an intervention?
I like it. I like
meaning to talk to you.
If I get wound up, I'm like Sammy too. And I'm like, I kind of don't like myself for it.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me, but I do think that there is some value in picking your settings a little bit.
It's a fact too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're not, if you're mad or you effing mad.
Yeah.
Or, there are levels. A big goal in the playoffs release, let's go turns into let's effing go.
Yeah.
Kind of
sure.
Thing.
Okay.
Anyways, speaking of swearing, there's probably some people in the Florida Panthers organization swearing today about Barkov going into the boards awkwardly, getting helped off.
We've seen him on occasion disappear like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a heck of a run last year all the way to the Stanley Cup, and he managed to stay healthy. But he's had his fair share of injuries, and he's just so important to them.
He is. More so and more important than that. Excuse me. Shout out to the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, my God, they won.
Sennies come out of the gates not just with a win, but a win against the Florida Panthers. The cattle whisperer, Linus Allmark, with a great first night. I think Ottawa has a soft second game. Like, okay.
So
here we go.
Yesterday after the show, I got a message from Aaron Downey, who's ex-NHLer alumni. And he's like, if you're a cowboy, you get that reference from Allmark. It makes total sense, right? Cows and all of that.
I tweeted the clip that someone else shared today. Yeah. There's no doubt it makes sense, but like Briz wasn't wrong that the universe is humongous big. It's just a weird time to reference it. That's all. It's not wrong. It's just...
Well, whatever it is, it worked.
Yeah.
Right? He was very good, and the team had a huge effort and sent a message that maybe they might be ready to challenge, or do we just look at the first couple of games and just say...
They have been... And 20 games in, they've been last, second last the last 5 years. So we're just hoping they can win enough to get competitive and be in the fight soon enough. Well, look at
all
this
right.
here.
Speaking of being in the fight, let's welcome in Colby Armstrong, who's worked here for like probably like off and on 10, 12 years and still found a way to get lost to our studio.
I'm no entry music.
Oh. Mic on?
Press the on button, the red one there, yeah.
On.
Okay. You're good.
No entry music when I come on.
Nothing.
Just
no intro.
Boring.
Because here's Colby.
But great to see you guys.
Great to see you too, pal.
Even with no intro music.
Yeah, I know. I don't need much.
You needed a stone cold breaking glass coming into the room.
Yeah, something,
no.
right?
Sorry, pal.
But I'm fired up to be here. I'm giving a tour for some local Penguins fans that are here that we're friends with.
Amazing.
Hi,
hello,
Penguins
everyone.
Fans.
So I kind of brought them in to like scout what I do and show them how cool our studios are here.
Yeah.
And, you know, mostly like the hockey side. So we had to make our way over here. It's like a maze in here.
Has he pretended like he knows what he's doing for the most part?
You know what my secret is?
What is
my secret saying is? I have no clue what I'm doing, but I know exactly what I'm doing. If that makes any sense.
It definitely does, which is perfect.
Darren Millard all those years, and it'd be like 2 seconds before the red light comes on. I'm like, what are we doing?
Hey, what are we talking about today?
No, I know, doing? Right?
Yeah.
And they'd be like full panic.
I've actually heard that that's something you would regularly say.
Oh,
pre-show.
Yeah. I have no
what
clue
are we talking
what
about
we're
again?
Doing. Yeah. Yeah. Carolyn Cameron.
Yeah.
So,
Carolyn,
what
are
we doing?
CC the beach today.
So where do you want to start just in terms of storylines? We're going to go right across the board. I know you opened up for Wednesday night hockey here with the guys, Toronto and Montreal. Where do you want to go?
Well, obviously the first thing that jumps out to me is just something I feel, and you guys as players probably start of the year. I feel like from what I know of hockey, the way hockey's going defensively, meat and potatoes hockey, we see a few teams that play that style. But I think what we're seeing, especially early here, is teams that play that style find it a little easier to get to their game.
Yeah.
And the teams that are off the rush, execution, rely on sharpness, timing, in the first couple games of the season here, it's a little bit more difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks a little ugly. A lot of it's mentality too, right? Oh, yeah, here we go again, right?
Yeah.
But I think from what I'm seeing, it's a little bit of that until teams can truly get their legs and their brains
right
rolling in the right spot.
So you do a lot of coverage of the Pittsburgh Penguins who are going to Toronto on Saturday night. Have they just played the one game against the Rangers?
No, they played Detroit last night. Convincing.
Yeah, that's right. Like, didn't see that one.
You know what
happened? Two stories, right?
Yeah.
They stunk and they were
horrible,
good last night.
Horrible the whole way through, back to front, everything. And then the next night, Blomqvist, their rookie goaltender in his first NHL game, he was all-star in the American League last year, stood on his head.
Yeah.
Had a great game, great showing, and the Penguins found their legs in the second period. The forecheck got going, kind of that meat and potato style.
Yeah.
And they found their game. They started to get going. And then, you know, you score, you get some confidence, things start feeling a little better. But yeah, tale of two teams. So who knows, Saturday night's big. Pretty
right.
cool though, boys. Rangers opening night. Then I'm in Detroit. Haven't been to Little Caesars Arena ever too.
There's
it was cool
awesome.
To go there. Yeah, really nice. And then Leafs Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, which is so cool. And then off to Montreal on this road trip. So that those original six teams right out the gates, it's pretty
That's
good way
awesome.
To start the year.
Colby is doing everything this year. You're doing Penguins broadcasts. You're doing some work with us here as well.
Yep.
You're doing
game notes.
TNT, game notes, Chicklets game notes.
Yeah, did that today. So just...
Your kid's going to call you uncle by March?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But
hey, Uncle Colby's back to visit.
With like, they'd expect me to put like bigger bags of money on the table, but I don't.
Yeah. But. So the Penguins then, since you've seen both sides of it, you know, the concern, I guess, is that the best players there have gotten old.
Yeah, yeah.
Malkin and Carlson. Do they still have the legs? Is it going to be there this year?
Well, Gino got his 800 assists last night.
And he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's looked great in camp. Like, he's got jump. And he's got 2 goals away from 500 goals.
Okay.
So, like, he was pretty pumped to get that puck on that 800th milestone assist. So I think like there's like an added drive to him. He's got jump in his legs. I talked to him about it. He's like, I got this steal. I usually get it like profiled, but he just took it out of the box and sharpened it. He says like, buddy, I'm flying. I thought that was pretty good for
like
an old timer.
New driver, yeah, like, yeah. Added 10 yards.
Yeah. But he looks like he has good jump. Like he's looked good through camp, through preseason and early, well, last game. No one looked good in the first game really, but last games look good. So I think those guys will always be there. You know, they're just, you know, Gino's a little more bull-like with his play and can get circling and looping and stuff. But, you know, Sid knows when to dial it in and when to, you know, create at the right time. Like he could be a little quiet through some of the games, but when he gets his puck in a certain area with a guy on his back, they seem to get it done. Carlson missed a little bit with injury, is now back, scored their first power play goal of the season, which is obviously a big topic.
That would be good.
Yeah, second last in the league last year on the power play was not good. So, and maybe one of the reasons why they didn't battle into that last wild card spot.
Too. So do we assume that the Pittsburgh Penguins are somewhere between being embarrassed by the Rangers and mm-hmm. beating Detroit last night
and feeling good
and feeling okay. So yeah. Is that going to be good enough for this team? Is it going to be good enough for the city? I can only imagine what those fans, and many of them had left by the third period.
They were booing and like Bronx cheering them. And
so like, where is this team when it's all said and done? And Colby, I want to get into it a little bit with Sid re-signing and the time that it took him to sign. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for this year and next year?
Yeah,
for Sid and the fans if they don't find a way to make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I think looking at it, I think, and Fenway Sports Group, right, ownership and what, when they went and signed, though, like Malkin and Letang a few years ago to that extension, mm-hmm. when it, there was like, these guys aren't going to be back. There was that leading into that. Then, you know, they signed Letang at the draft in Montreal and Gino followed. But when, once that happened, like Sid's coming back, you know, so he signs that extension. But like the mandate from going from, okay, well, these guys are going to leave, we're going to flip things over here now. You know, you look at the age and what you're looking to do. The cupboards are bare. They haven't had first round picks in forever. And they've always been going for it and had teams that are, you know, contenders. I think right now with the core guys and trying to bring in a Rucker McGroarty, trying to get some games for this Blomqvist and having some prospects pop. We haven't had in Pittsburgh like a young player come in since those back-to-back cups when it was like, you know, Brian Rust and those guys were popping
Gensel.
Up. Gensel and Connor Sherry and Tom Kunackle and Carter Rowney. Like these are some guys that were brought up, the Wilkes-Barre guys, they call them, the American League guys. So it's been a long time since some of these players and some prospects and some young guys. And so I think they're kind of in between right now. You see them bringing, you know, Beauvillier and some of these guys, Hayes, and some guys that are in positions where they can kind of supplement and we know what they are. Maybe they can have a good year for us, right? We've seen them be good before. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of in the middle right now. And I think that the expectations were tampered pretty good with Kyle Dubas this year a little bit on the team. But at the same time, like, who knows? If that power play can be half decent and they could play, like, really the last 13 games of the season last year where they were a completely different team. And with the, you know, insurgence of, you know, some younger faces and legs, I don't know. Because that bottom part of the Eastern Conference, boys, is I think it's up for grabs.
Yeah,
like when you look at it.
So
those, wild card one, wild card two. Yeah. What else? You know, right?
Yeah. It's I mean, you mentioned with all that talent, they finished 31st in the power play last year.
Yeah.
You know, you finished 15th, and you're in the playoffs for sure.
I got you going to move on? I want one more Sid.
Oh, go ahead, stick with Sid.
Okay, I hated the fact that Sid didn't get a raise. I think it's a bad look. Of course, we love Sid. He can do whatever he wants. He's not 27 or 28. He's, you know, later 30s.
Yeah.
I get it, but I still think it's a bad look for the league, not for Sid or anything else. But I will say this, that a 2-year extension means that we can finally put to rest that he will ever go anywhere else. You agree or disagree?
I agree. And I know I've always bugged Sid, like I'm the loudmouth in his ear and he's like the composed, smart face of the league. And I'd be like, dude, why'd you sign that long deal? Like, look what Austin did. He signed that 5-year deal. He gets a roll with the, you know, cap. And you get to max. He's like, man, when I signed that deal, like everyone signed those deals, like Taves and Kane and these guys. Yeah. And
I also like to get out of the first round a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And he was just like, that was how it was done at that time, you know?
How long was that deal he had signed?
13, I think.
13 year, yeah.
Oh, man, that's gross.
8.7.
You know, like, look at NBA players.
What other superstar never got a raise in 15 years?
Yeah, crazy, right? For what he's done. And then 93, 94 points, 82 games the last two seasons when he's old and done. And, you know, that power play had been going. He's 100 points, and that's 50-goal season last year. Mm. For sure. And they didn't trade Gensel maybe too. You'd have probably got there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and also the thing in talking to him is like, he's fully aware. He's like so different. Like he's fully aware of his, obviously his age and his ability and the health of the franchise. And in the last year of that deal, if it's not going his way, that he saddles, you know, what if he signs 3 instead of a 2-year extensions and he saddles the Pens with a 35 over dinger on the cap?
Right.
And
that's a good point.
He's thoughtful that way about the game, Kipper. And I guess that's what separates him a little bit. And I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
When you see, you know, Shesterkin turning down a whatever contract in his prime and all these guys in these contract situations coming up. And I think he's more thoughtful at his age and his career of where he's at and what's...
I also got to think the Fenway group might have asked him, what are your plans?
Yeah, I wonder if like post after this, yeah.
Right?
I wonder.
Oh.
Hey.
Hmm. Interesting.
What do you think?
There might be work available for you. Not saying there is. What do you want to do?
Yeah, exactly.
What's you want to be a lifetime penguin?
What's the highest ambassador contract in sports?
Is it like the gold parachute, eye wink, and handshake, Kipper?
I remember.
Don't you worry, Sid.
Yeah. I'm familiar with alumni, and guys get paid X per game they go to, a lot of these older guys. So I'm sure if Sid will have some opportunities to earn some
money. Or like GM or, you know, assistant GM or...
Buddy, whatever you want.
King Emperor of the Penguins. Buddy,
just put on a suit and keep showing up to the rink and you're a penguin.
Makes
sense. Emperor,
Ownership.
Can I turn the Sid page yet?
Yes, I'm
going to ask about his extended family or anything?
Look after Sid because Sid looked after the league for a lot of years.
He did. I do want to talk about age, though. And, you know, these older players, and for the Penguins, it hasn't worked out, but they're an older team. Mm. They're the third oldest team in the NHL. I don't know if you guys could guess
who's the oldest
are.
Edmonton, I think, right?
Yes.
You know who's up there, too?
Crazy.
Chicago.
Yes. Good answer. I'm talking about that on the television tonight. The Chicago's fifth, Edmonton's first. Edmonton is a year older on average than the second oldest team, the Nashville Predators. The Oilers have one forward under 30 on their team. It's Pod Colson. So they're old. Does it matter? Can you, you know, bet short summer, back-to-back here, is that a good thing or a bad thing that they're veteran experience trying to win a cup as the oldest team in the NHL?
Well, my buddy off my podcast there, Game Notes, got in trouble last season or stirred up some controversy for talking about number one D-men that are under 6 feet and the success of winning with D-men like that.
And is there any?
He went down at like a massive list of like...
And Canucks fans are mad?
Yeah. Very bad. But they've got some monsters around them there in Vancouver. Like everyone's like 6'4 around them.
Right.
But, you know, is so like, does it matter or doesn't it? Or is you, I think having some youth around for the enthusiasm and the grind is, I think, good. I think healthy for teams. Can you win with it? Yeah, I think you can. I think you can.
It's not prohibitive to be old.
We're seeing Stamkos and Mustard last night for you.
Weird. Who's the weirdest you've ever seen?
Brett Hull, Arizona.
I can't even think of that.
But it happened.
Gretzky, St. Louis still was weird
it's
to
weird.
Me.
Text us, 590-590.
Jerome Iginla in any other jersey but a Flames jersey. He was a Penguin. He was a Bruin. He was a Av. was he in Av for a bit too?
LA. I saw a picture of Rick Tocchet in a Boston Bruin uniform. Yeah, I'm like, when?
Yeah.
Well, Bobby Orr playing for the Blackhawks also, you know, I wasn't around to watch that, but you know, you don't see many pictures of that, but it existed. It's out there.
Do you like Nashville's pushing commitment to now through free agency think that they're going to compete in the West?
I like it. Will it work out? I don't know. Pretty good risk to take to go and get some marquee guys that are good in their spots and can add to the depth of your team. I think one guy that's getting overlooked in all of it, though, and maybe not, maybe I'm just saying this because I got called out for saying he was underrated, is Forsberg there.
Yeah.
Like, well, how many goals are you going to score this year, too? And we're talking about everyone else, which is kind of cool. But I like what Trotz did. I like his aggressiveness with their team and, you know, where some of their guys were at. They the last few years leading up to, like, they had guys that were, their American League guys that were, you know, almost got them in the playoffs. And so that was a world of experience for some of their guys. They kind of turned it around quick, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you're in a position where you can go make something happen. Like, would you have Josi up there as your D-man of the year this year? Norris?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I would. I'm like, right. What's he going to do? He's done it already. Like, he's been the guy. Like, how many points is he going to, like, it's, they're looking on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're at the top of the list in the West for probably a lot of people, top, you know, four teams that you look at that you're going, oh boy,
right.
Great job this summer.
Yeah.
Can Craig Berube grab the attention of the Toronto Maple Leafs like Rick Tocchet did last year for the Vancouver Canucks?
I think he can. So in talking about the Leafs this year, the thing with me about them is that exact topic is like a bomb in my brain that I keep going, this is the difference. This is the mentality change difference that they need. How long will it take for them to get there? But, you know, I look at like Florida, right? Like they play playoff hockey all year long. It's hard to do.
Right.
I look at the Leafs. If he can get them pushed in that direction to play that style of hockey or the style that you'd want your team to play in the playoffs, but you have the caliber of players that they have inside of that being able to do that, like, that's the ultimate goal.
Right.
Because I think they're done messing around with what they've done the last number of years, right? Like, these players and stuff, too. So I think it's a good change. I think it's the right mentality. And I think, ultimately, in my brain, I'm going, it's the difference maker that's...
Yeah.
For them, that they need.
Have you played for any coaches that you felt like able to push a button in a different way? You know, the way that Tocchet came in, obviously very different than Boudreau. Would you have responded better for someone like that than...
Yeah, that's a good question. I've had Michel Therrien for like almost my entire career, the minors in Pittsburgh. Then I had him later in Montreal.
Oh boy.
And
that's a hard coach.
Yeah, he's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was simplistic with his message and a simplistic style of play, but demanding.
Yeah.
And I think that's what those guys are, right? I think that's what they demand and what they push towards. And I love Berube's interviews. He's as close we'll get.
He kills our show.
But he could cancel our show.
Yeah.
On some days.
Didn't say anything.
No, I know. He's like borderline, like we're back in the, you know, LA interviews with Sutter.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It is funny.
But he's a simple guy. He wants hard work. He wants a style of play that works, that he knows. And there's a simplistic way about the way he talks to people too. Like it's great.
Can we give some love to Winnipeg Jets for shellacking the Stanley Cup finalists?
Mm-hmm. Shellacking.
Shellacking.
Like, is Lowry on Team Canada?
That's actually a funny.
Just put him on it after night one. But that line
he's on for years now. They've been awesome. Yeah,
they're awesome. But he's a horse. He's good on faceoffs. He's physical. Like, he can check. He can do stuff that, let's face it, a lot of guys that are going to be on that team don't want to do.
Right, yeah.
And he can produce.
Yeah.
And he's been one of their more consistent, good, steady, all-around guys, and he's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a lot of...
They're sneaky, like, aren't they? Like
Jordan Staal.
Yeah.
That's what Lowry's turned himself into.
Yeah. Monster in a good spot, not overextended. Good spot for him in that lineup and important with his line. But they're sneaky, man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was on the bandwagon last year hardcore. then it all came crashing down.
Yeah.
Hard.
It has for a lot of years.
Broadcast that I was working here in the playoffs when I was like, it's on Hellebuck's shoulders for to steal this period and win the game. And then he just was a light show. And
Kyle Connor is not the first, like, guy you think of when you think about top scorers, but he is a top scorer.
He's a beast.
He is so good.
Shaved his head this year. Do you see that? Doesn't have the slick back gingy going. He's got the shaved buzz cut head.
He's going to...
A little faster.
He's going to have to wear knit caps.
But like Perfetti... Can Perfetti be like an explosion this year? Wouldn't that be something for them?
Yeah.
But they just play solid. They play in your face, frustrating, solid hockey with ability to get it going. Like that game, Lowry's line got it going. Yeah. And it took a while. Then the big boys, bing, 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 just started scoring. And then Hellebuck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, he's the guy.
Ottawa Senators as well. Some people have him in. Some people have him out.
I had him in last year.
You had him in last year. So you got to go again this year.
I went off him this year because I gave up.
Oh, you did.
I gave up. I like them, though. I think they're an exciting team. I think, you know, the Allmark edition, the look to add some veteran guys, which has been a lot big convo around that team and that group. Prove it to me. Prove it to me.
Yeah, need a little something early.
Two teams that have like needed desperately good starts that apparently don't.
They're
have
fast.
Them.
They're skilled.
Detroit and Buffalo.
Hey, they play physical too.
Ottawa. Wow. Look at Brady.
They're a bear of a team if they could string together some consistency and get some goaltending as well. But they're an exciting team to me. Like I've been excited about them for the last number of years. But it's just
Who's feeling just leaking more oil out of Buffalo and Detroit, Stevie Y or Kevin Adams?
Who's in a worse spot right now?
Well, just who's feeling more pressure?
It's crazy, right? Because you have Buffalo on a wild card hunt, maybe, and we keep trying to push Buffalo into there, and they haven't shown us anything like they could be in there. I think Buffalo. I think Adams.
Yeah, well, it's I look at Detroit. I'm not necessarily saying Detroit has to make the playoffs, but like enough of the talk about we've drafted well and we got good young players. Yeah. They have to go and win.
Yeah. Actual series.
This year, they have to win games and they got to put themselves. Yeah. I know they were close last year, but like the next step is making the playoffs.
Results.
It's not being close again.
Yeah, results, business. And yeah, it hasn't been there.
Hasn't been there. All right, we got to get to game time and Sammy and
Tex. Is it over already?
Yeah.
All right, Colb. So are you around like every week now?
I'm like hit or miss depending on my schedule to be in here. But yeah, they got rid of Mondays. So I was like the Monday, Tuesday guy forever, Morty. You know that in there, grinding away. And then got in some Mondays last year and then gone.
Yeah.
So now I'm a Wednesday guy.
Welcome to Wednesdays. We're glad to have you.
Pretty good. You built up Wednesday so much that they sold it for like
Mondays,
hundreds of millions of dollars, gazillions. Did you see any of it?
No.
None. Hard enough.
Can't wait to get home after this road. Honey, I'm home with this. Where's the money?
Really appreciate you coming in for us today on the Friday.
I love it.
We love having you.
Thanks, boys. We appreciate it.
He is Colby Armstrong. Always a welcome addition on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. When we come back, a few news and notes, and we'll take your text messages at, what's the
590,
number again?
590.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, you did.
Back after these words.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, down the stretch we come this week. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Okay, that was a fast first full week. Did I say that right?
You did say it right. Was it our first full week? Time did fly. Yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
So I'm having technical issues. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
And everybody else out there can hear me?
Well, I can't speak for them. So.
They're probably forced to. Yes.
Yeah. Derek, text me and tell me that they can hear me.
Derek says yes. You're good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's very odd. I can't hear you in my headphones, so it's strange, but we'll power on. Game time, boys?
Game time.
All right, it's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Couple things for tonight. Tampa Bay are in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. Tampa Bay underdog today, somewhat surprising to me, plus 125. Carolina minus 150 on home ice. I don't know if I love that line from a Carolina perspective. And the Philadelphia Flyers in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. Flyers are plus 150, Vancouver minus 185, huge favorites. Mm-hmm. Little thing that I got for you here, same game parlay for the Lightning game. Love a Jake Guentzel goal in a Lightning win. Guentzel goal in his debut would pay plus 325. So that's a little one that I cooked up for. Hit my anytime goal scorer last night. Macklin Celebrini scores in his NHL debut. Not exactly the most beautiful goal you're ever going to get for your first one, but hey, it went in the net. It's his first one, so good for him. Get off the schneid. Watched a bit of that game. Thought he looked pretty impressive. He was flying around
assist.
Out there.
Yeah. Draymond Green in the house.
Yeah.
Draymond obviously worked with Celebrini's dad. I shouldn't say obviously.
Pretty good.
Worked with Celebrini's dad with the Golden State Warriors.
Pretty good list too, right? Since 2000. He joins what a
Do you want to hear the guys that scored in their debut? First overall picks? Ovechkin scored in his debut. Tavares scored in his debut. The Nuge scored in his debut. Austin Matthews scored in his debut. And the latest one is Macklin Celebrini. So
8 years since it happened.
I remember Mario versus Boston like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
First
breakaway.
Shift, first shot.
Shift, first
and you
first
remember
shift,
also
first goal.
His last shift
and the Deke
was a breakaway goal as well. He scored in his last game, I think, on his last shift.
Yeah, that one didn't care him off anybody's skate.
No.
But that Celebrini, you could just see, like, that goal doesn't happen by sheer luck. I mean, you got to create that energy for it to...
For sure.
And
creating chaos, whipping it into a dangerous area.
He's got a chance to be real special for San Jose.
Is it weird to me that it's very off-putting with the numbers on their top line? With Eklund wearing 72, Celebrini wearing 71, and Tyler Toffoli wearing 73, that they're all wearing like
football
numerical
numbers.
Like, I just, I don't know. It does not look good to me.
Too
many 70s. It does look like an offensive line out there with those three numbers. So that's a little pointless thing, but it did jump out to me. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
It's got to be a little unnerving for the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? Knowing what just happened back home and having family and friends and obviously themselves affected by it. Like, this is a tough time to focus and play on hockey knowing what's going on back home.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's some real world life getting in the way of our silly little game here. So, hopefully everything's all right. Obviously, it didn't end up being the worst case scenario, but still ended up pretty awful for a lot of people. So,
we have a few texts, and by a few, I mean a lot. But there's a really great one, a swearing story.
Oh, hey, before you tell us that, one thing I want to correct. I asked you about players under 30 on the Oilers. I meant aside from McDavid and Draisaitl, who are 27, 28.
Obviously you got crap by somebody on social media and said, like, you're stupid.
I was like, did I not say
Justin,
that?
You're stupid.
Yeah, I got called a dumb. Anyway.
What? So this is apparently a morning show in Vancouver story about swearing on air. One time famously on the Helfer and Bruff morning show, Jason spent the first 3 to 4 minutes of the show trying to set Mike off, and he straight up told him to F off at 6:04 a.m. And to this day, it's one of my favorite moments. One simple F off.
That's the most Jason Bruff horror story I've ever heard. I love it.
Not too long ago, like, you're fired. Like, you're done. Yeah. You'll never work in the industry again. And now we're just all having a laugh.
Yeah. I mean, I think there were intentional swear words are different than whoops that I let that one slide, aren't they?
So there's a ton of submissions for person who looked the weirdest in a jersey on the text line. I don't know if you want to get into some of those, but there's a ton of those. Lots of Allmark love on the text line. Lots of more continued Ottawa talk on the text line. I think if you're a Sens fan, that win last night has to be one of the most exciting wins that you could possibly have.
Yes.
Just over the Florida Panthers, defending cup champion. I know we mentioned it a bit before we got to Colby, but like having him look that good in against a tough game, just they usually lose that game.
Yes.
Right?
Buddy, they're usually 4-14 by, you know, middle of November. So,
and that was all but admitted by some of the players in their post-game comments,
yeah,
was that we just found ways to lose these type of games,
right,
the last few years.
I know you use a lot of golf metaphors. Before we came in here, we were talking about the Sabres, and it's like, it's tough to play a good round of golf when you triple the first hole, like Buffalo has done this season. They've come out loss, loss, loss. It's like, you got to play great from here on out.
So has Ullmark always had this kind of take it off, you know, the rails a little bit with comments? Has he got a little Buzgalov
in
him that we don't know? And because he's in Canada now, we're going to hear more of it, because
I hope so.
It would break up the year,
yeah,
for us if we had a few more of these
kind of
comments.
I think what happens is people play for Canada for the first time, or a Canadian team for the first time. They say something like that, like Mikheyev, who literally once said, "I like soup." And he had a Campbell's sponsorship, commercials, and a nickname within a day.
Yeah.
You know, I think here things
just
get
Toronto,
beat
though,
to death.
That's just
Noel Achari, nickname, cookie. Here's a Tim Horton sponsorship.
Kipper, I think, have we ever asked you about, like, have you been in commercials and stuff? Like, I don't know if we've talked about this with you.
Are you joking right now?
No.
No.
Open his Instagram page today.
No, like, obviously. Not, oh, the, not the wedding the beak right now. I meant, like, back in the day, like, as a player.
No.
No?
No. No. Nobody got, no fourth liners got any work in commercials. Like, I did a lot of promos for the league.
Yeah.
ESPN ran these fun promos that I always got pushed into, or actually I leaped into.
There's a great 1980s Islanders ad set in Playboy. Well, you know, it's like Clark Gillies, Bobby Nystrom, Dennis Poffin, these guys throwing on the brakes like snow spraying in underwear.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever Hanes line or whatever, you know, but there wasn't much in the way
it's
of that.
Still,
sort of stuff.
It's still hard for our league in general for players to really grab an endorsement deal.
Yeah, like,
and, like Connor
Bedard.
He's
probably making a couple mil a year doing it, not 20.
No, exactly. Like, if you want to compare it to other sports, it's just like, there's just no market.
Right.
There's no market. Like, here in Canada, I think I've had these conversations with you before. Like, for a Connor or an Austin, it's probably starting around $250,000.
To do a commercial
To be associated with a major company in Canada. Mm-hmm. Again, you're talking to 40 million people.
Yeah.
Where in the States, Curry's talking to 400 million people.
Sure.
Big difference.
Dollar amounts.
Yeah. Change. But, you know, there's more than we've ever seen before, but it's just really reserved for a handful of guys. Everybody else has got to just, you know, grind it out with their
cash or check.
Base salary.
Yeah. Your three-quarter mil.
Of $2.5 million, $3 million.
I do think that the final last year was a bit of a crossover moment for hockey in terms of it making its way into the more, general sports universe in the States. No? Like,
Connor McDavid has a chance to.
It's still hard to move the needle in the States for the NHL. But
if Connor played for the Rangers or something, it might be different.
Like, I listen to Bill Simmons podcast. I listen to Ryan Russillo podcast. Like, these are, like, big American podcasts. Yeah. And, like, during that time, it was popping up in there. They were having a quick conversation about it. Like, to me, for it to kind of make its way into that echelon, that's got to lead to more endorsements. It's got to lead to more money. Like, the cap's got to go up. Like, it's just, they have to make more money.
Yes. I think Gary's gone on record already saying this: the health of the league has never been better. Mm-hmm. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we could be closing in after this year at about $6.5 billion of revenue.
And the cap just can't go up.
Well,
I wonder if the next
cap,
CBA will take
the cap
a huge
is
jump.
Artificially down.
Right.
You got to understand that it's not
escrow.
A real reflective number to where the revenue is, because they negotiated coming out of the pandemic to wipe out the debt.
Will it
on
get there
the
though?
Escrow.
Then, like, will it eventually?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the $14 million that Leon Draisaitl signed was more of a reflection of a $100 million payroll and not 88.
Do you think then, so it sounds like the salary cap is going to go up $5 million per year for the next, whatever, 10 years, whatever the max inflator is. Is that going to take the kneecaps out of any franchises whose owners did not sign up for a franchise where payroll is $120 million?
The answer is, I believe, yes. And I'd be really nervous if I was, say, the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, revenue is a challenge there to the point where Gary Bettman went there last year to remind people in the community that they've got to find a way to
attend,
either attend or more importantly, I think find whatever corporate world there is out there and support the Jets.
The curiosity there is like franchises are worth so much money now. Like the Jets as a franchise must be worth $1.5 billion.
They're worth that not because of
the money or
the business model. Like no one would come in and look at the business model and say,
"This is going to print money.
Oh, this is good. This is good. This is just grabbing the right amount of billionaires.
This is Balenciaga. This is a accessory, a fashion accessory.
This is artificial. Rich people." Saying I want to be part of a really exclusive golf club, and if it's 500 or a million to get in or 1.2, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm never going to see that money again. I don't buy equity in the golf course, but I'm joining
it.
Okay. I'm in. Yeah. And that's what's gone on with franchise fees.
Gotcha.
So did you guys touch on this waiver thing from this week?
No, but let's.
Okay. So I don't wasn't really familiar with the stylings of Raphaël Lavoie before this week, but so this is, can I read this to you? This is a tweet from CJ.
When did it start? October?
On October 6th. This is his wild waiver week continues. On October 6th, he was placed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay.
On October 7th, he was claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights.
Good for him.
On October 8th, he was placed on waivers by the Vegas Golden Knights.
Okay.
On October 9th, my birthday that you guys forgot, he was claimed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. On the following day, October 10th, he was placed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers.
That's the weird one.
And then on October 11th, he was claimed, which is today, by the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Knights are the only team to submit a waiver claim on him. And therefore, he can be sent directly to the AHL Henderson Silver Knights. What the hell is going on?
So
first question I have for you two, is he traveling?
Probably not.
Is he getting on the plane every time here? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know the answer.
Yes?
Think so?
Yeah. Why not?
I guess if you genuinely believe you're going to play for that team, you would travel. But
yeah.
So when you claim a player off waivers, you can't just claim a guy and stack your AHL team. So let's say Edmonton drops him and Vegas wants him for the AHL team. They claim him.
He is on his way down to the American Hockey League.
But if you put him on waivers immediately after a waiver claim,
yes,
the team that waived him can claim him back and say, no, he's going, we still want him. You can't just have him on your American League team. So then Edmonton reclaims him, which fine, that does happen. But then they put him back on waivers the next day, which I don't get. So then you don't want him.
I don't think Edmonton ever had a thought that this guy was a top prospect. I think the idea was to have him as a depth guy that could come up possibly. I don't even think that he would have been considered the first guy to be brought back up in if they needed to replace somebody.
Right.
So he's a decent shooter.
Big score in the AHL. He had 28 goals last year in 66 games.
So he's pretty good for the AHL. One of those.
Yeah.
But he won't score. He wouldn't play on Edmonton's power play. Yeah. So I think it was always a depth play for these clubs. Yeah. And it's very rare that we see this. I do recall, I think, one time Eric Comrie, remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he go through a certain window where he was up and down and claimed and waivers and claimed and waivers too? So it doesn't happen very often.
Right.
For the most part, waivers is a good thing for the players because if you can't use them, then expose him to other teams and give you
someone
don't
can.
Bury me.
Yeah.
Just don't bury me. So it works for the most part for players, but in this instance, I don't know if Vegas had a sticking it to the Oilers.
So I wonder now if there's some sort of bitterness between, it seems like two management groups, they can't love each other after this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. To me, looking at this from an outside perspective, there's no way this just isn't a you-know-what swinging contest where they're like, okay, I'm taking them now. No, right. You take them. Like, it just clearly looks like these two management teams hate each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just using this poor kid.
Maybe.
Flying cross-country. Like, that's the only thing that it looks like. But maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. Maybe he's so undeniable for the AHL team that they had to sign him up.
Could be.
So do you guys want to hear some of these weird sweater things?
Yes.
I'm just pulling some of them up. The one that I definitely forgot about totally that this ever happened was Marty Brodeur in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. I hated that. That reminds me of Brett Favre going to play for the Vikings, where it was just like such clearly like a shot at the old team. I don't like that.
How many games do you think he played for the St. Louis Blues?
Because he played one or two.
Seven.
Played seven?
Seven games for them with a 8.99 save percentage.
Which kind of brings us to...
Showed them in New Jersey.
Which kind of brings us to our earlier conversation with Colby Armstrong is I'm really happy that I'm not going to see potentially Sid in another uniform.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
mind seeing what it looks like.
I know. And everybody felt the same way with other players that end their careers somewhere else. Uh-huh. But,
But I do like players to say, I have X amount of years to play in the league. I want to win Stanley Cups. And I'm loyal to this organization who's been loyal to me and all that. But if we don't have a chance to win, what am I playing for? Which I appreciated that Patrick Marleau said, I'm going to try something else. I didn't love that Getzlaff said, I'm going to play one more year and no way.
Like I have so much respect for Sid that if he feels like that's not the be-all, end-all for him, like let's be honest here. He can look at his lineup and go, stinky. And he would have left by now.
Yeah.
He would have been gone by now.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have signed a two-year extension, but he...
I think he thinks they can win. I do. I think he believes in the core guys that have won before.
Maybe that's his challenge then.
They weren't the best in 16 or 17.
They've been playing together forever.
Yeah.
They're just like... He just sees
feels
them
like
as...
they can veteran freak it together at the right time.
Okay. Which, again, is his right, and if that's his challenge today, then...
Yeah.
90-point guy still playing at a very high level. Like, don't doubt me. That's my challenge.
But these superstars are, like, appropriately delusional, where, like, Tiger Woods thought he could win tournaments and whatever, and then he had the 2019 Masters, and, you know, you have these guys that have these one-off crazy years when they're old. It happens.
But the delusion part's part of the reason why they are who they are.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
It's like that, like, right? Self-belief to a point of, like,
but it's,
insanity.
It's very, very... rare that it just
pans out.
Ends perfectly the way you want to at the end. You
know what, it usually ends up seven games with the Blues.
It ends up with, you know, hosting your pod, you know, hiring your podcast host as your coach and getting your son drafted to the Lakers. That's usually how it ends. Last thing here, we're currently witnessing one of the weird jersey guys, Max Pacioretty and Elise jersey from Jeff and Barry.
Yeah.
Feel like that's one we look back on in 3 years. We're like, wow, that was weird.
How about turtleneck?
He's not.
He was a Leaf.
If I can recall, there was another Leaf player that has worn number 67.
I don't think so.
No?
Recently?
Old Newsy Lazine from.
I think. Well, what's recent to you? I want to go 20 years.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Leafs to wear 67. Oh,
Sammy, nothing comes to mind, eh?
No. Does it come to mind for you?
I got nothing.
I'm quickly Googling here, but I don't think I'm going to be able to pull
a defenseman.
Furious Googling reveals nothing so far for me so far, Kevin.
You only got Pacioretty?
Hold on, I got it. 67. Four players have worn it. Robert Schwela.
There you go.
Oh, who can forget?
Brandon Kozin
wore it. There you go.
Yeah, Brandon Kozin was recent.
But hold on.
This nobody busted their chops over 1967.
This must have been in the preseason. Redeem Zahorna. He came up. He didn't wear it, did he? Remember him? The big tall guy that shot one in?
Yeah, I know who he is. But
did he wear 67? I guess he did.
Imagine I knew that.
our thanks to Colby Armstrong
I'd remember.
And his tour for coming to our studio
yes,
today.
They were awesome.
If you get a chance, give us a rating, a review. Also, we can be found on YouTube. Thanks for joining us this week. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.